News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Sitting here, like I like to say, I'm overdressed for radio right now, having a cup of Just Love coffee. I actually am, right here in the studio. And folks, let me tell you about my friends at Otter Creek Farm, though, first, before I go any further. Otter Creek Farm, it's I say it all the time, right? It's like an oasis in North Alabama. I mean, it's just this very cool place where if you want to go wing shooting, which is hunting pheasant or quail, they've got everything you need. They got the guides, the guns, the dogs there, and they'll take you out, and there are hundreds of manicured acres, and they'll have a good hunt. Donald Trump Jr. came and stayed there not long ago to do a hunt, but they've also developed their facilities and their grounds such that it has become a wedding destination. I mean, people want to be there. I've got, you know, my own son and daughter-in-law have their photos taken there for their wedding. It's just an amazing spot. Their culinary staff, their chefs, their facilities, their grounds, all of it. It's the kind of place where if you want to do a corporate retreat or just a day away, you can do that. Check it out. OtterCreekFarmstead.com is the website. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. Well, listen, yesterday was cool. Let me just wrap up a little bit of this segment by talking about yesterday. So if you listened to the show yesterday, you know that I was broadcasting live from the Grand Hyatt in Buckhead over in Atlanta. Had a ton of guests. I mean, the show just kind of kept rolling. And one thing that did happen at the very end that just we're that close. If I had had 20 minutes left in the show, probably would have had Mark Meadows, former chief of staff for Donald Trump, one of the founding members of the Freedom Caucus, on the show. He actually walked up while I was talking to someone else on the air. We shook hands, but he was moving to the next meeting. And we didn't have enough time in the show to get him back. But it was a great event. So last night, we went to a dinner. After the show was over, we broke everything down, got it all packed up, put on our fancy clothes, and went down the hall to the dinner. Mark Meadows was the keynote speaker. And the whole point of yesterday's event was being put on in partnership by a new organization called the State Freedom Caucus Network, being run by a guy who I've got to know him, Andy Roth, who was on the show with me yesterday. Andy Roth used to work with Club for Growth, the most conservative political action committee out of D.C. Club for Growth has been very supportive of a number of candidates who have been members of the Freedom Caucus, the Freedom Caucus being the most conservative members, generally speaking, of Congress. All that to say, great day. And one of the things that I loved, at the end of the night, Mark Meadows gave great commentary. He just had some encouraging words to say about how you can actually hang in there and make a difference, about why it's so important for conservatives to caucus together. But at the end of the night, it was the culminating event for a several day gathering. I was just there for one day of it. And Andy Roth again was closing out, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for being here." He said, "I want to thank you also for your participation and what it means for y'all to be here. But I also want to just let you know that this concludes our dinner. This concludes our event. Now let's go home and start a revolution." And I just thought that was just a cool way to end things. Let's go home and start a revolution. That's what it's going to take. And when I say revolution, I'm not talking about all of you out there right now who are still freaking out about January 6th and believing that was some kind of insurrection, which it wasn't. Let's go ahead and be clear. I am not talking about armed revolt. I'm not talking about overthrowing the government. What I am talking about is taking back our political situation by having conservatives take their stands, run for offices, make it happen. I just saw today that a friend of mine, Representative Mac Butler, who I'll get on the show sometime soon, has decided he's going to run for office again. Mac and I served together in the state legislature, And I know for a fact they believed that he was going to run again, so by the way, there were some cowards working the issues when it comes to redistricting. It's amazing to me the way they chose to do incumbent protectionism, Mac Butler being one of the ones who had served quite well from House District 29, has now been drawn completely out of his district by a long line, district line that was now drawn down into his neighborhood and carved him into a different district. All right, that's happened. So now Mac's running for House District 28. I suspect he'll do quite well. We've got others, though, that I know were drawn out of their districts, one of which is our state representative, Charlotte Meadows. Well, folks, when you start acting like that, what you're saying is, we don't want to take any risks. We don't want to have to be accountable. Oh, Lord, don't make us have to deal with somebody who might be hard to run against. Don't let somebody who's already said that they don't think I'm conservative enough have a chance to run against me. Carve them out of my district. That's scary. You know what? If you ran for office, you chose the path you're on. Buck up and recognize that if we're going to have a revolution in our political sense, that you're going to have to be willing to stand for what you voted for, explain it to the voters, and see if they want you back. That's what it boils down to. And it's going to be a matter of voters having to hold people accountable. It's going to be a matter of politicians having to recognize that people are beginning to see more clearly that technology and grassroots and the stuff that we've gone through in the last 2 years and the things that have happened just in our own state, politically speaking, over the last few years, our Republican Party leadership has gotten fat and happy. And they're not acting like conservatives. And I'm telling you, there's some people that are coming that are gonna wind up challenging the incumbents, one of which is Mack Butler deciding, you know what? I think I need to get back down there and cast a different vote. Yeah. All right, folks, we're coming back from this segment right here. We're going to be talking about New York. New York is now going to try and allow non-citizens to vote in their elections. What in God's name? We will be right back with Right Side Radio. Solid. Conservative, just plain right. Loose Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Hey, before I go any further, let me just tell you about Just Love. I'm sorry. I'm gonna go. Copper, you tell me what is my mic? Is it a bit too loud? Have I got buttons too high, or what am I gotta do? Just grab the mic and tell me.
Yeah, turn yourself down just a little bit.
Yeah, I bet some of the knobs got bumped in the travel back from Atlanta yesterday. Mm. So I'm just gonna turn down the gain and see if that makes things any better. You just tell me if I'm just talk to me. Tell me what you like.
Yeah, that sounds a little better.
Okay. All right. Good. Maybe it was just angry Phil. Maybe I was being angry Phil, and I was just yelling in the microphone. Who knows?
Enthusiastic Phil.
That's it. Oh, thank you. I prefer that more. I'm enthusiastic Phil right now. Yay. Okay. So here's the deal. I was about to do something for I'll tell you what. Let me just move on. I'm moving on right now. Copper, you've got me so distracted, but all for good reasons. Hey, listen, I got to ask you this, though. Have you guys seen the news about what's going on with New York City? New York City. Yeah, New York City. Apparently, and I'm looking at an article right now. This came out December 10th in Time Magazine. Time Magazine, among many other periodicals, reporting that the city of New York has made a move by their city council to allow non-citizens to vote in their elections. Non-citizens. Like, just folks who are there to vote in their elections. So you don't have to be a citizen to choose the mayor. You don't have to be a citizen to choose a city council. You don't have to be a citizen to vote on, you know, things that have to be passed in terms of ordinances and that kind of stuff. All I'm saying is that's whacked. There is no justification that rationalizes away the fact that you should be a citizen before you are allowed the opportunity to vote. And I asked this question, first of all. A friend of mine sent me a text. Full credit to my buddy Mark. Mark sent me a text when this story broke the other day, and he goes, "Hey, does that mean that thousands of angry conservatives can just go drive up to New York and vote the mayor out of office next time? I think that's a wild idea, but I wonder." So here's the deal. Time Magazine reporting that New York City lawmakers approved a historic measure on this past Thursday to grant hundreds of thousands of non-citizens the right to vote in local elections, setting the stage for a broader battle, it says, between supporters who want to expand immigrant voting rights and critics who think the move devalues citizenship. I think it devalues citizenship. I do. I mean, it's like I said earlier in my monologue. If you give away every benefit of being a citizen to those who are not citizens, then what's the use in being citizens? If everything in the world that our nation provides to its people is just given freely to those who are not necessarily, quote, our citizens, our people, then why would anyone want to become a citizen of this United States? Now, are those same people, by the way, that you're giving benefits to? Are those same people that you're, providing the opportunity to vote? Can they be drafted? Are they registering for the draft? Now, I know that a non-citizen is allowed to enlist in the United States military, and they can earn their citizenship many times by doing so. But are they available for the call-up? So what? Let me ask you this. If we had another major war like World War II, and they had to go back to conscription and the selective service, everybody registered when they're 18, and then they have to put the draft back into effect, and next thing you know, it's a full-blown call-up. Are we going to wind up seeing millions of undocumented people who've been allowed to vote now, who've been allowed to receive social services, who've been allowed to receive entitlements, sitting there watching everybody go off to war, but they're not a citizen? So they got everything it took, but they have to provide no sweat equity, no blood and treasure to the defense of the nation. I mean, think about this. Why would you give away everything it takes to become or to benefit a citizen to people who are not citizens? Now, the argument is, and you know what the argument is, a bleeding heart argument is what it is. But the argument is, well, it benefits those. It encourages them to engage the processes. It gives them a voice in the place where they live. Okay, well, why don't they just fill out the paperwork and become a citizen and they'll still have the same rights? Has someone stopped them from filling out the application? I doubt it. You just remove the barrier. You remove the want to. Well, the story goes on here, this Time Magazine article. It says that literally more than 800,000 non-citizens will soon be able to cast their vote for mayor, public advocate, city council members, and other municipal candidates. And apparently there are standards for now. It covers legal permanent residents who have lived in the city for at least 30 consecutive days. 30 days. That's all it takes. 30 days. That's all it takes. And they are green card holders or legally authorized to work in the U.S. Okay, so they're here on a work visa. That's all they're doing. Their only purpose in life is to come here and work, and they're putting, you know, everything they've got into transferring money back home. Not all of them, I know. I know not all of them. But many of them do. You'd be amazed how much money is wire transferred out of the United States because they come here on a work visa. And I don't mind that, by the way. I got no beef with that. In fact, I think the work visa program is essential. But if they're gonna come here with the sole intent of being here just solely for work, and they're going to send money home and then they're going to go back home, why are we allowing them to vote? Why are we allowing them to make the decision as to who gets to be mayor or town council or city council? Well, it goes on in this article to say that that literally there are other smaller cities and towns who have been trying to do this, but it is not a good idea. It's a road to destruction, in my opinion. And then you get into the fact that, all right, the city council has decided it. Well, where's de Blasio on this? You know, he is mayor for at least two more weeks. Surely he can cast some more death and destruction upon his city before he leaves. Well, article right here in Newsweek. Newsweek says de Blasio has mixed feelings. Mixed feelings? How wishy-washy is that? Make a decision. I remember when I was a cadet, you know, earning my commission as an Army officer, somewhere down the line, there came this point where they're yelling at you, make a decision, cadet. Don't just stand there. Make a decision. Well, how about this? De Blasio, please make a decision. So de Blasio has, quote, mixed feelings over allowing 800,000 non-citizens to vote. And he went on to say in a Newsweek article that the city council's recent decision has given him some conflicting views. Conflicting views. Here's his quote. I have mixed feelings. I've been very open about it on this law, and I think there's big legal questions, but I also respect the city council. They made a decision. Yeah, well, you're the mayor. You get to make a decision, too. Are you going to veto it? Well, apparently he's not. So he can have mixed feelings. He can have very great concerns, but they are the city council. Well, that didn't stop him from doing the other trash and garbage he did as a mayor. All right. Well, the story keeps advancing, though. I went to an NPR article. I did. Don't judge me. I went to NPR. I'm getting all the resources. NPR. All right. So NPR did an interview with a professor, Hiroshi Motomura, who is a UCLA professor, a law professor. And this law professor, Matamura, goes on to say that he calls them intending citizens. Okay. Apparently we have a new phrase. If you've moved here and one day you intend to apply for citizenship, then you are categorized in his mind, at the very least, as an intending citizen. You're intending to be a citizen, I guess. But he said, but intending citizens, in many respects, have been limited in the past, but sometimes allowed to vote in our nation's history. See, I think what this law professor is forgetting is there are laws. There's a novel thing. There are laws. There are laws that say, hey, New York City, you can't do that. You just can't. Hey, New York City, by the way, your state constitution does not allow that. Article I've got right here from Fox News came out yesterday. New York City Council voted on a measure that would allow non-citizens to register. The state Republican Party in New York vowed to do whatever they can. Quote, we pledge action, legal or otherwise, any means necessary to stop this dangerous legislation from undermining our elections. The party chairman said that Democrats have already made New York City a sanctuary city and provided illegal aliens a number of benefits, and this new bill was always the next step in the left's plan to radically transform America. And they say that the bill violates the U.S. and the New York State constitutions, stating that voting is, quote, expressly reserved for citizens of the United States of America. Yes. Yes, it is. Folks, the thing that concerns me here is this has been happening in other places. Smaller liberal venues have been doing this. Another article I got off of Fox. This one came out in the last couple of days also. Where are non-citizens allowed to vote in the U.S.? Well, there are 14, at least known right now, there are 14 smaller U.S. jurisdictions, it says, that have similar laws. Most of them are in Maryland, a typically blue state. They do have a Republican governor, but a blue legislature. That state's constitution authorizes municipalities to actually allow people outside those qualifications to vote. All right, so they have a state constitutional measure. New York does not. Maryland's municipalities, some of whom have chosen to do so. Then we also have the fact that San Francisco began allowing certain non-citizens to vote in school board elections in 2016. Why school board? Teachers union, I guess. The Illinois General Assembly introduced a measure allowing certain non-citizens to vote in February. More liberal cities, including Los Angeles, Washington, Portland, and Maine, have also floated the idea of enacting similar laws. But here's your kicker. Stand ready. Be proud. States like, quote, Alabama, Colorado, Florida, Arizona, North Dakota do have rules that would preemptively stop any attempts to pass non-citizen voting laws. Yes, yes, we do. All right, Copper, go ahead and move us to that break we got to take. Top of the hour, we're going to come back with our own Secretary of State, John Merrill, and we'll talk about some of those laws in effect and election integrity in general and get his views on what New York City's trying to do. I'm just telling you, people, this is one of those massive attempts to divide and conquer. If they can remove the barriers to voting to those that they can buy votes from, it's going to be the downfall of the election process. All right, folks. Sorry to leave you on that note, but Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, I'm going to take a moment of personal privilege here. Shout out to my little grandson, Declan, who I understand listens to the show quite often, wants to know when Cap's voice is coming on. Hello, Declan. This is your Cap. So there's my shout out for the day. But hey, listen, Copper, go ahead and get clip two ready for me. Clip two, just go ahead and give me the highlight when you're ready on that. So here's the deal. You hear me talking about election integrity and the idea that New York City is going to let 800,000, potentially 800,000 non-citizens vote. Well, how does the immigrant community feel about that? How do naturalized citizens who went through the process of becoming a citizen feel about that? Great interview on Fox News a couple of days ago with a congressional candidate in Texas named Myra Flores, who moved here from Mexico. She immigrated. She became a naturalized citizen of the United States. She's now running for Congress, and she has some thoughts on this. And in her words, basically, being an American is a privilege. Voting is a privilege. And the Latin American community is not in favor of laws like what we're seeing in New York City. Copper, hit clip two.
Myra Flores is a South Texas Republican congressional candidate who became a U.S. citizen when she was just 6 years old. She joins me now to discuss, first off, how bad an idea is this if not even de Blasio's on board?
It's a horrible idea. You know, as a legal immigrant myself that became an American citizen, this is, you know, I just believe that being an American citizen is a privilege, is a blessing that only Americans should be able to vote in this country. In Mexico, where I'm from, you have to have a voter ID and you must be a citizen of Mexico to vote. Why would it be any different here? And local elections to me are more important because they impact us directly. So absolutely not. This is a horrible idea and it sends the wrong message. And we want to encourage people to become American citizens. And these people will not see the value of it if we're allowing them to vote.
Bigger picture here, Myra, isn't this just a way for Democrats to really pump their voter rolls?
Okay, so listen, you heard it right there. There is someone right there who can speak directly to the issue. She is a candidate for office herself. She is a naturalized citizen. Listen, my sister-in-law is a naturalized citizen. I understand what it took for her to go through the processes, and there were hoops to jump through. But it's worth it, and it's special. And you heard her say it's a privilege to be a United States citizen. And it is. It's a privilege to be a citizen of the greatest nation on the face of the earth. But then go one step further. How does a broader community, is it just one person saying that? She's been talking to other folks, and she had some comments on that. So Copper, clip three, if you would, go ahead and same interview, candidate Myra Flores. Here's her comments on the Latin American community in Texas that she's been talking to. Go ahead and play clip three.
Here's the outrage over the fact that actual citizens of these cities, many of whom, Myra, are Black and Latino themselves, will have their vote diluted by these kinds of actions.
Exactly. You know, yesterday I asked a few people here in South Texas about this incident. Every single one disagreed. They believe that only American citizens should be able to vote. Even at the local level, not one person here in South Texas, my district is 91% Hispanic. And the people that I spoke with yesterday disagreed. They said only American citizens should be able to vote, even at the local level. So, no, this is something that the Hispanic community does not support.
Well, and there you go. That's a pretty clear quote. I appreciate her comments. I thought that was right on point, and that's why I grabbed that audio for us to use today. But the reality is this. I completely agree, and I'm sure many of you do too. All you right side ruffians out there, I know y'all get it. It's a privilege to be a citizen of this great nation. A privilege. And if we give away everything that comes, the benefits that come from being a citizen, then why would anyone want to become a citizen? You don't have to. I mean, being a citizen also, though, bears some responsibility. Being a citizen means, like I said earlier, you are registered for the draft in the event there's a need to defend our nation. Non-citizens are not. You are there to be someone who can be counted upon in the community to do more than just exist and to draw from. You provide too. And you've got blood, sweat, and tears involved in it, and you took the extra steps to align yourself with the ideals of this nation by becoming a citizen. And if you're not willing to do that, then why should we prescribe to you the right to vote for the leadership of this nation at whatever level? I'm just telling you, folks, that's a dangerous road, and somebody better get hold of New York City sometime soon or we're going to lose it. And I love the Big Apple. I love the Big Apple. I love New York City. But I'm just telling you right now, ain't no way on God's green earth that city's going to survive if they keep putting knuckleheads like de Blasio and AOC and others in office to make decisions like they're making. All right, listen, we're coming back right after the news with Secretary of State John Merrill continuing this conversation. Just so you know, Alabama, the only state in the nation that got an A for election integrity. That's right. We'll talk to the Secretary of State about his views on all this. Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.